We want to talk about supporting American-made biofuels and all the jobs, farms, and local businesses that rely on the ag and to thrive here in Iowa. As Bill said, my name is Bill Howell. I am the general manager of Poet Biorefining in Coon Rapids, Iowa. We want to talk some about farmers who are facing very tough times now. We have a new ag crisis that has arisen in the heartland. And in the midst of this severe rural economic downturn, we face another challenge, and that's from the forces in Washington. Biofuels, without farmers, without Iowa, our nation would be beholden to countries that don't particularly like us and really don't like our way of life for crude oil. But there's another very important reason that we need to remind Washington that homegrown fuel that we make here in Iowa is so important. Over the last 4 years, farmers have seen the steepest decline in income since the Great Depression. Land values have dropped at a rate that we haven't seen since the 1980s. Farm debt is rapidly increasing. Even as the commodities continue to hover below break-even, and banks across the U.S. report that they're bracing for many bankruptcies in our American farmers. Folks in Washington forget that the American-made biofuels play a pivotal role in our economics. Biofuels support jobs and wages in rural communities. Biofuels grow the domestic and international demand for ag commodities. Biofuels lift grain prices. In fact, a lot of farmers depend on biofuels to break even when they would otherwise go bust. Understanding the impact on the economy, you'd sort of think that Washington would be doing everything they could to promote growth of our homegrown biofuels. Instead, they've hatched a whole new plan to help punish us. Senator Ted Cruz is pushing what we call the oil refining bailout, which takes away the accountability from the oil refiners for blending biofuels. It puts a cap on their obligation, and it sheds their responsibilities to comply with the law. Senator Cruz says his plan would help a bankrupt refinery in Philadelphia. So what about the hundreds of biorefineries and family farms his plan would bankrupt? Senator Cruz says it's all about saving jobs. What about the jobs that we'd lose in Iowa? Senator Cruz says it's a win-win. How can he honestly say that this is a win for farmers when it will cripple the corn market and the price of corn will immediately drop 25 cents? Senator Cruz decided to hold his own rally at the refinery in Philadelphia just a few weeks ago. This oil refinery has been mismanaged. The investors have squeezed the money out of it to the tune of $500 million over the past 5 years. Senator Cruz saw this as an opportunity to blame the biofuels industry, even when the other refineries are making flat profits. He went so far to carry this false narrative to Washington, straight to the White House, and flopped it right in the plate of the president. Right now, his plan is on the table, and it would break the president's commitment to support the renewable fuel standard. It would crush the growth of biofuels, and it would cut the lifeline to American farmers. Iowa State released this past week that if Senator Cruz's oil refinery bailout becomes a reality, it will cost farmers 25 cents per bushel. a full quarter below what you're currently getting, which is a pretty meager price. So he is interested in taking that money from struggling farm families and putting it into the hands of oil companies so they line the pockets and purchase more oil from Africa and the Middle East. We need President Trump to hear from you. And that's why we're having this rally. We've heard from Ted Cruz. Now he needs to hear from rural America. We heard during the president's campaign here in Iowa and elsewhere that he promised to preserve the renewable fuel standard and to stand with farmers. Well, this is his opportunity to do that. We're calling on President Trump to keep his promise. This issue has been addressed, will continue to be addressed in meetings at the White House. Put will be there. And we will stand up for biofuels and support family farmers across America heartland, as the president has promised to do. We're asking you, Mr. President, to do the same. We have a letter that we'd like each of you to sign, telling him that rural America is very important, is very concerned about this subject. If you'll sign that, Poet's CEO Jeff Bruin will hand deliver that to the White House during his next meeting. We cannot stand by and let rural America be sacrificed for the oil industry. So tell President Trump to let our family farms carry America forward to a brighter, cleaner, and energy independent future. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now I have the pleasure to introduce Bill Dix. He's the state Senate Majority Leader. And Bill is on a tight schedule. So I think he has a few words for us.
Thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, everyone, and that is the good news. You know, that being on a tight schedule, you're not going to have to endure very much. I'm here today for really one very simple reason. Bill Cowser asked me to be here today. And when Bill calls, as my dad always used to say, I don't ask why. He asked me to jump, I just ask how high. So it is a pleasure to be here. I'm a farmer as well, and I'm here to support what you're doing here today. You know, as a state senator, I can tell you from personal experience, your voice is heard, but you have to continue to voice it, because other people are out there who have a different agenda and they need to continue to hear from you. So you're doing the right thing by being here today. And I want to continue to support you in any way that I possibly can as well. Renewable fuels, biofuels industry have helped to diversify our fuel industry across the state and across the country. It's clean burning. It reduces our independence, as you heard from Bill also, on foreign oil, on people who don't really like us, and we can't really rely on. So there's a lot of good reasons, not the least of which is the jobs that it entails here in our state. So I just want to let you know that I'm also supporting what we're doing here today, and I want to continue to do that. One other quick little note that I'm going to make for you. While it's important what you do today, it's important for you to get involved in campaigns, and I know many of you do. Because the other thing that I realized, and I know out here in the room today, there's several people who are employed by the corn growers, by the biofuels industry, to continue to lobby at the state level, lobby at the federal level. And they're good at what they do, and their jobs are important. But the big point that I want to make to you today is how vitally important it is, not only in the state, but at the federal level, to elect people who understand our business, who understand what we do. It's a lot easier, in my view, to elect somebody who understands, who you don't have to convince every day to do the right thing, because if you have to change somebody's mind from where they are in the beginning, that's a lot more difficult. Supporting the right people and doing what you can to get good people in office, there's no substitute for it. I appreciate your support very much. Those of you who are in Butler, Grundy, Hardin, or Story counties, I've got some nomination papers today. Before I leave, I might just run around the table here a little bit. If you can help me out and sign my papers, I'd appreciate it. And otherwise, let's keep up the hard work. We can make a difference. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to keep trying to move the agenda along. Next, we have Mark Ricker, who's president of Iowa Corn. I think he has a few words for us.
Yep. Thank you, Bill, for putting this together, and thank you to the Cowsers for putting this together in such short notice. You guys do a great job. It's a great format we have, and it's a nice crowd that turned out today. It, you know, underscores how just incredibly important this issue is. So I farm in Northeast Iowa. I'm the president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association. I was telling Bill that, you know, when I'm in Northeast Iowa, I usually leave snow and come to sunny conditions in Central Iowa. So this is a little different change of pace. But we can't underestimate how critical this issue is to not only ethanol producers, but to corn farmers, because we are so heavily invested in the ethanol industry. It's just been fantastic for our operations, so critically important. And whenever there's a call to action, corn farmers step up. We have from the beginning, and we've been attacked a lot since the beginning. And this is maybe the largest threat we've seen. It's just incredibly, incredibly important that we're all here to participate in this and let our voices be heard. We have the lowest farm income since 2006. Times are not great on the farm. Prospects don't look good. The last thing we need is have the knees taken out of the RFS. So I had the opportunity to engage with Secretary Perdue in California last week at our Commodity Classic, our policymaking session, and had a good discussion with him a couple different times, and he reiterated his support for the renewable fuel standard. And I had the opportunity to talk about RINs and thanked him for his support for the RFS, because while we appreciate that, the administration must understand, unless you support the program as it stands and RINs not changing, you don't fully support the RFS. It's important that they receive that message. And it's a message we're going to keep giving. The meeting Monday was postponed, but we can't slow down. We can't let up, because it's going to keep happening. There's a lot of pressure from oil in the White House. There just is. And we need to counter that, and we need to counter it with great strength. At Iowa Corn and National Corn, we're all on the same page. We're lobbying the same way. No changes to RINs. It's incredibly important for our industry. Membership's important. That's why you're here. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road for members. This is why it is so important that you become a member and you're a member of Iowa Corn, because we can't lobby. We lobby with membership dollars. Important to become members of your organizations so we have the voices. The voices in numbers we need to let the administration know, to let DC know just how important this issue is going forward. You know, we can thank a lot of people, and I think we need to thank not only everybody here and everybody participating. You know, we're doing calls to action. We're getting members engaged, and you know, people that maybe wouldn't be, but understand how important this issue is. But let's thank our senators, Grassley and Ernst, also, who have done a fantastic job for us on this behalf. Well, throughout this whole battle for the past couple years, when there's been another run by the opposition at the RFS, because this isn't the first time, it's just another attempt, false attempt, to bring it down, our senators, not only them, they've been very key, but other Midwestern senators have been there to have our backs, and we need to have their backs going forward. They need our support. They need our voices heard. Let's keep up the good work, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Mark. Well, next we have a chance to hear from Rick and Charlie about their visit to the White House. I'm pretty excited to hear about it. Charlie gave me a few highlights, and sounds like I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Hey, I would like to thank everybody for coming out on this snowy day. Proves the support for the renewable fuels industry. I'm Rick Schwark. I'm chairman of the board, CEO at Absolute Energy in St. Ansgar, Iowa. We're working hard at making year-round access to E15 and higher blends a reality by eliminating re-vapor pressure barriers and supporting the RFS and RINs. RINs are the engine that drives the RFS forward. Every gallon of ethanol produced has a renewable identification number, a RIN, attached. The RIN has no value until it is detached when the ethanol is blended with gasoline. RINs are provided free of charge when refiners and blenders purchase ethanol. Most refiners acquire RINs by buying and blending ethanol with RINs attached. But some merchant refiners comply with RFS obligations by purchasing RINs from other refiners who blended more than they were obligated to do. RINs drive investment in distribution and retail infrastructure for higher blends like E15 and E85. 2 weeks ago, I was honored to be asked to join Senators Grassley and Ernst and Charlie here in a meeting at the White House with the President, Vice President, and some members of the Cabinet to discuss E15, reed vapor pressure, etc. I'm hopeful that these discussions at the end of the day lead to year-round sales and more demand for ethanol. I am long-term bullish on our industry. The higher compression, direct injection, turbocharged engines of the future are going to require high-octane ethanol-enriched fuels, and the RFS and the RINs will lead us there. Thank you.
Charlie Good, I own the Good and Quick in Nevada, Iowa, and 5 years ago, I upgraded my installation to start selling renewable fuels. I do purchase my ethanol from Rick, right here out of St. Ansgar, because they are ones that are able to sell it to me. Lincoln Way Energy doesn't have that ability yet, and Rick does pass the RIN savings on to me, so I'm able to offer lower price fuels to the people of the area. So as the retailer, that's why I was asked to come to Washington, D.C. And it's nothing like you see on TV what went on in our room, I would say. It was very intense, and I thought we had it pretty good in the beginning. We had the president pretty much on our side. The specific question was, can you tell me why we don't sell E15 year-round? And I said, yes, Mr. President, I can answer that. And I said, the reed vapor pressure rule does not allow us to sell E15 in the summer driving months. And so I said, if you allow us to sell year-round nationwide, we'll flood the market with RINs and the RIN price will take care of itself. And he understood that as a businessman. And there was a guy sitting immediately to his left, Senator Ted Cruz, that didn't understand that. And his response to the president was, there's no reality about how quick the RIN price will come down. And the president, he's a supply and demand guy, and I think he understood if we do year-round. And he asked everybody in the room, he said, does everybody here think that E15 is a great fuel? And everybody said yes, even the oil companies. And he looked at Joni and said, Joni, how come you're not getting the word out there? He says, this is great. He says, everybody in this room agrees E15 is great. And she said, Mr. President, every time we try, big oil puts their foot on our throat. And there was a lot of stuff said in that room in an hour. And it was the first 40 minutes, I think we were very, very much in control. The president himself mentioned that he knew that the farm economy was in the decline. None of us in the room brought that up. We didn't have anything to say about that. And the president knew what this would do to the price of corn. And he knew it. He knew an impact that it would have on the farm bill, the next farm bill, if this goes through, which one of our members said something to him about. Rick, on his end of it, explained to the president how the RINs work. And I think for the most part, I think that's the thing that Washington, D.C. has a problem with, understanding how they actually work. And I think coming out of this meeting, they understand a lot better. I had the privilege of sitting beside General Kelly during the meeting, and in our, I probably had about 15 minutes of direct conversation with him between speakers and between questions, where he asked me specifically, what is the reed vapor pressure thing? What's it do? What do you have to do different? If the RINs were capped at 10 cents, what would happen? How long does it take to retrofit an E85 station to sell E15? He was very, very, he wanted to know it all. And when he came into the room and introduced himself, he asked me, he says, I guess I'm going to learn about ethanol today. And he says, can you tell me why it's hard? And I said, it's not hard, General. You'll find that out when we have the meeting. And so halfway through the meeting, he looked at me and he says, you're right, it's not hard. And I said, you need to help us convince the president that of this. And I was very, very honored to be there in that room with everybody else.
I'd be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to tell you what a phenomenal job Senators Grassley and Ernst did in that room. All Iowans should be proud of the representation. And keeping... the word is intense, and keeping this meeting moving forward, they did a really good job. As Charlie mentioned, you know, for 80% of the meeting, everybody agreed that it was good, good, good. Okay, and I steal that phrase from Senator Grassley. It was good, good, good. He does a marvelous job for us, but. You know, moving forward, we need to keep working to protect the RFS. It is the backbone of our industry and gives us market access. And it's not broke. Let's just let it work.
When the president was leaving the room after the meeting was done, I was the last one that spoke to him on the way out. And I said, Mr. President, you love Iowa, you love renewable fuels, you love the RFS. And I said, you can't cap the RINs. I said, if you cap the RINs, it will gut the biofuels industry. And he said, I got to have a deal, Charlie. And I said, if you got to have a deal, then you cap them at $1.50. And he said, well, we'll let them, and he pointed to Scott Pruitt and the senators, we'll let them come up with that number. And then the general said, we got to go, and out the room they went. But he's a businessman, and he wants a deal. I mean, he wants to make a deal. He's a deal maker, and he made that very clear in the meeting that he wants this to be solved quickly.
And just for clarification, the word cap is used, okay? What that means is a credit waiver. And a credit waiver, for 10 cents a gallon, they get a credit waiver that waives their obligation to buy a gallon of ethanol, okay? A credit waiver grinds no bushels and it makes no ethanol. A billion gallons of credit waivers would cost the oil industry $100 million. That's 350 million bushels of corn that didn't get ground. Iowa State says that's 25 cents a bushel. That's about $3.5 billion of economic harm done to rural America. And not only that, that's the profit end of the business. The last dollar a farmer makes and the first dollar he loses is profit. So that's tax revenue that's lost by the federal government on $3.5 billion. For $100 million they're receiving. It's not a good deal, Mr. President. Let's move on.
And Rick did say that in the meeting. I think I don't know how else to get the word out to Washington, D.C. I don't know if there's a hotline to call or how rural America, other than signing something, if there's anything else we can do. But I truly thought the president understands the farm economy and what this will do to it if it's changed. And he asked each one of us in the room, what is your solution? He asked every single one of us. And my solution was let us sell E15 year-round nationwide, repeal the Reed vapor pressure law, and the RINs will take care of itself. And
you want to give them a little heads up on Mike Lorenz from Sheetz was there as well and did a very good job. You want to just
I tell you what, this guy,
go ahead, Chuck.
He was truly an all-star in the room. He's the professional about RINs. He's with Sheetz convenience stores, and in my mind, I don't even know if I've said this to Rick, he made the single most important statement of the meeting. When the meeting was wrapping up, the CEO, I believe, of Valero said to the president, why are you making us blend E15 to be sold year-round when we haven't had a single customer ask for it? And Mike Lorenz reached in his pocket, he held up his phone, and he said, you see this, Mr. President? Nobody asked for this until it was made either. And I mean, that's the response it got. It stunned the oil people. And, you know, because they were trying during the meeting to say to us, you know, nobody's asking for this. Well, they're asking for higher blends. They're asking for higher ethanol. They will ask for it. And when it's blended and when it's available, it will sell. And the RFS going forward has to remain intact for us to reach those goals. And we have to let the president know that.
Be happy to take a couple questions. Anybody have a question?
The first part of the meeting, you guys said you owned it. What happened the last 20 minutes? Did it drop off? Did you lose some of the power?
The gist of it was the general consensus was that E15 year round was a good answer, okay? But that's not the answer that the oil folks were looking for in the room, okay? And so to appease that, the door was opened again to look for if there is another answer for them, which, you know, let E15 work year-round. If it's sold year-round, more ethanol is going to be consumed. More ethanol consumed means more RINs generated. More RINs generated is a greater supply of RINs on the market, which naturally brings the market down. It's natural market economics at work. Just let it ride.
Towards the end of the meeting, Big Oil got very, very more vocal and very abrupt, to say the least, very abrupt. And there was an instance where Senator Cruz started to take over the meeting, and Senator Joni Ernst would have no part of that, and she called him down by slamming her hand on the table and saying, no, Ted, you're not going to take this meeting over. Senator Grassley made it clear to the president that the president wasn't supposed to listen to Senator Grassley, Ernst, Cruz, or Toomey when we were in this meeting because they had already talked to the president. He was only supposed to listen to us, and Cruz would have no part of that. He kept interrupting, and we had the numbers, we had the facts, and all they could say to us was no, 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 no. And in the last part of the meeting, they really ramped it up on us.
Yeah, the question I have, when you or whatever, in the E15, there's no doubt that we got the production to do that. When we bring in the E15, does the other side, and it sounds like it, where the president's looking for a deal, and he's always looking for a deal, is he saying, well, we'll give you E15, but then we'll put the cap, and then in return, it don't do the E15 any good? Is that what's going on with Cruz and the boys?
That's exactly what's going on. And in the beginning of the meeting, the president agreed with us that the RINs would take care of themselves. And he looked right at Ted and said, Ted, this is a good deal. This is a win-win. And Cruz said, no, it isn't, Mr. President. He said, a deal is when both sides get something. He said, you're giving it all to the ethanol side. And the president said, no, I'm not. He says, you're getting relief on the RIN price on the refinery side. And that's where we split ways. And towards the end of the meeting, you know, I think he started to put some doubt in the president's mind.
It was a nice opportunity. I do want to say it was a nice opportunity to get out there and air this. And I think President Trump understands at the core, you know, supply-demand fundamentals. So that's why I'm hopeful at the end of this. This leads to year-round ethanol sales of E15. I think that there's a strong possibility of that because it's 88 octane. It's a greater value. It's clean, green, renewable, and American-made, but it's cheaper.
Guys, thanks for your leadership out there and for representing us. With regard to this PES, I think the refinery in Pennsylvania, did the president get an idea? Was he trying to be sold on this that RINs was the thing that brought this thing down and all this kind of stuff? Because that has to be, the president has to get that out of his mind if that is in fact the case, because that in and of itself to me is painting the picture of our entire industry that brought things down, and we all know it was mismanagement of things that could have been done years ago if they would have just complied with the RFS. They could have been making money in those jobs. So I think Cruz is trying to threaten the president with votes in Pennsylvania that he may or may not get because of this refinery closing and blaming it on RINs. And it's simply not true.
The oil side was for the first half of the meeting was trying to make that point, and they were getting no traction, okay? They were getting no traction with that. And, you know, to my right was the union representative, okay? And he had some pictures of folks and employees who were stressed by and losing jobs because of this closure. And he said, he wanted to show them to the president. And he said, put the pictures away. She has a picture of 88,000 farm families she can show me. Put your pictures away.
Senator Ernst, after that, went on to make the statement that we have 88,000 Iowa farmers and 144,000 jobs tied to the ethanol industry, and that if anybody in Iowa were to lose their farms and anything, there is no place else to go. There is no place to collect unemployment. It's everybody's life. And I think when that guy was trying to hold up that picture, I'm telling you, he was fumbling, he was nervous, and when the president told him to put it away, that sent a pretty good message, I thought. It was truly an honor to be there.
And Charlie did a great job, by the way, guys. Hand for Charlie, please. Thank you. Thank you.
How great it is to have champions like Charlie and Rick who can go sit down with the President of the United States and make our case. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to talk about. I think we've pretty much covered it. We have one speaker left, and he has my mic. I was looking for that. Grant has become our voice at the Capitol. I'll let him introduce himself. We've changed his job title a time or two. So, Grant.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. I am Grant Mankey. I'm the policy director from the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, and it is a pleasure to be here today. Thank you all so much for coming out. And, you know, whenever there's a big job that needs to be done, whenever there's leadership that needs to be exerted on a short time frame, you can always count on the Couser family. So let's give the Couser family another round of applause. So we've been fighting attacks on the RFS for years now. And this is not a new story, but this is a new chapter in that story. And this chapter that's culminating here today really goes back about 5 months now, when Donald Trump nominated Bill Northey to be our Undersecretary of Agriculture. He went through the Senate Ag Committee, received accolades from both Republicans and Democrats, was unanimously approved. And then Ted Cruz got a little idea. How could he twist this situation to continue his crusade to destroy the RFS? And so we put a hold on Bill Northey. And he explained that hold, that he was going to try to craft this grand compromise, a win-win for refiners and for biofuel producers and corn growers. And he even said to our governor, he wrote a letter to Governor Reynolds saying, you know, we need a solution here that helps refiners and increases demand for corn growers. Those of us who know Ted Cruz knew he was being disingenuous all along. But we didn't really have full-fledged proof of that until late this past week, when an oil industry study was released which showed how disingenuous Senator Cruz was being. So what did this study say? All along, you know, Cruz has been saying more demand for ethanol and lower RIN prices for refiners. But their study clearly laid out their true motivations, and that was to destroy demand for biofuels. Their study laid out clearly their goals. Remember the blend wall, when people talked about the blend wall? Does anyone remember that? Well, we blew through the blend wall in 2016, and we blew through it even further in 2017. The goal of this oil industry study is to take us back below the blend wall, below the levels that we're blending today, destroying demand, lowering demand for corn, lowering demand for biofuels. And that is not something that he's been straightforward about in anything that he's talked about to the president or anyone else. So that was laid out very clearly. And some of the impacts that we're going to see if the Cruz plan goes through: nearly 1 billion gallons of reduced demand for ethanol, 330 million gallons of reduced demand for biodiesel, corn prices dropping by 25 cents a bushel, soybeans dropping by 16 cents a bushel, livestock feed prices going up $185 million. This is not a win-win. And it was clear, Senator Cruz was not about, you know, his motivation wasn't RIN relief, it was demand destruction. He wasn't trying to cap RIN prices, he was trying to cap biofuels demand. And we heard of the situation about the refinery. You know, his motivations aren't preserving petroleum industry jobs at a certain refinery. His motivation is protecting the petroleum monopoly that's been built up over the last century. And so we need to make these facts very clear. And we just ask the President of the United States to keep your promise. Reject this Cruz deal. Keep your promise to the farmers in this room and the biofuel producers. Keep your promise to the rural Americans in Iowa and around the country who put you into office. Keep your promise for the young people, these FFA leaders who are the future of agriculture. Don't take away their opportunity for the best and the brightest that are right next to me up here to have successful careers, not going into big cities, but staying on the farm and in the big cities. Mr. President, you can keep that promise, and we ask you to do that today. Thank you for all your leadership. Thank you again to Senator Ernst, Senator Grassley. Thank you to Governor Reynolds for their leadership. This event, it's been a busy few weeks. We had 6 media events yesterday to help raise awareness of this Cruz issue with the help of the Iowa Corn Growers, the Iowa Biodiesel Board. It was a great, great event. And this event is the culmination of it right here. But we cannot take our foot off the gas. Yes, the meeting on Monday was canceled, but our work continues. So keep the fight. Keep the pressure on President Trump and urge him to keep his promise. Thank you very much.
I think I have an answer to Charlie's question. If you would like to call and keep pressure on Secretary Perdue to keep supporting the RFS, this is the number you need. 202-720-3631. So 202-720-3631. Also, I'd like you to take a minute, look around the room. Realize that this event happened in 24 hours. Do you think this is an important issue for us in Iowa? I think so.
You know, I'll say a few words and I'll let Bill bring it home, but you don't know what it means for us to have this group show up. When Bill called this, I said, are you expecting 200 or 200? And you know, we've never done this before, so I'm making a pretty good team. But I also want you to know again that I am the agent for Charlie and Rick. So if any speaking engagements, I do take commission on any of those. But I want you to know that, you know, if you, While the race was going on, the Governor Ray appointed Patty Judge and myself to ARF, America's Renewable Future. And he challenged us to meet on a bipartisan basis, all the candidates that came to the state. And Patty and I had the privilege of sitting down with every one of these candidates. I met with Ted Cruz 6 times. And all I can tell you is he's shiny. And he kept telling me every time that I met with him, we're not picking winners and losers. And I said, Ted, I don't think you understand what the message of winners really is, because we're all winners. You're trying to pick sides. Big Oil is great at making profits, but they're horrible about giving choice and bringing the consumer a valid product that everyone can afford. Let the consumer make the choice. A few of us in here are headed to D.C. We want you to know again, I think the 21st, I have a meeting set up with Pruitt, and I know Charlie and Rick will be with me on that, along with a couple other people. We're also going to meet with Secretary Perdue again, and hopefully Bill Northey's, well, he's out there now, and we'll be with him also. And we just want you to know that we're going to continue to carry this message. You know, the motto being from the 70s, you drive fast, take chances. And this is one chance that I think we're all in this room willing to take. And we're not going to let up on the gas. So, again, thank you for coming. Bill, I'm going to let you bring this home.
Very good. Something Bill kept saying to me during the last 24 hours is, I'm your wingman. And I would tell you, I spent some time in the cockpit of an F-4. The most important person you have is that wingman. He covers your butt. So thank you so much.